Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Monday afternoon, and I want to do one of Purim. As I undertook for our good friends at Gluck Plumbing in Lakewood, and again, something different, and I'll tell you what I was thinking of. Since we're now involved in this difficult times to roll in with the war in Gaza, especially you see this anti-Semitism in the United States, and that the bad guys are momish twisting history. It's a big battle for the narrative. You understand? They want to make it that Israel does not have the right to defend itself. Literally. I mean, they say that, but Pemoli, excuse me. And it's all our fault. And it's a colonialist enterprise. And, you know, the reason it's okay for them to kill us is because we have no rights there. I'll say it again. The reason it's okay for them to kill us. It's okay for them to do that. Because we have no rights there. And so on and so forth. Meaning, how you twist the past, which is the business of historians. How you twist the past, which has been always used against us throughout our history, how you spin the past. And what's interesting is the Chazal, according to them, Haman did this in a very ingenious way. You will perhaps recall in the Gemara, most of you are probably familiar to some degree or another with the Agadah and the Gemara Megillah, where it says nobody knew Lashon Hara like Haman, and, you know, the Jews, are no good, and, you know, if you touch the wine, they won't drink it, and all kinds of things like that. That's a tiny drop in the bucket compared to what the Chazal portray as the arguments of Haman, his spin on history, in the Medrash Rabbah. I remember seeing once on a... where was it? Somewhere. Wait a second. I think it was a Palestinian website or something like that. What was the first case of Zionist aggression? Shimon and Levi and wipe out the town of Shechem. You see, that's how you spin it. How do they say in Iran today, describe Purim? It's a massacre perpetrated against the poor Iranians by Mordechai and all those guys. It's all how you twist it. You understand? You don't even have to change the facts so much, just a little bit. But you put a certain, you know, spin on it. That's the famous medicine we all know where the tongue was arguing with the other parts of the body, who was the most important one, and the tongue won. Because he could say it in a way to get hanged, or say it in a way that, you know, the king would let you go. You all know that. So, along those lines, if you look in the medicine where it says that they wrote letters to kill the Jews. So the way we read in the Megillah is that there was a two-way conversation between two dudes. One guy's name was Haman, the other guy's name was Achashverosh. And, you know, Haman said, Yesh noam echad mefutzim for ben amim, but dasayim shonis mikolam, and so forth. And the king says, do it. And, you know, the Gemara always says, you see, it's like the king saying, I don't even need the money. You're doing me a favor by getting rid of them. But it had to be more complex than that, simply because there was a royal council, and you don't just sit down and, you know, write something up. It's got to be approved, and then bureaucratically, it's a vayishlach sfarim b'chom dinos hamelch hamedina kichzoa ve'alambon kilshono. I mean, you know that. They didn't just have two guys, Haman and the king, and say, okay, you know, write what you want. Haman had to write it up, and then run it through the king's council, get approved by the government, which happened, of course, 1, 2, 3, and then send out the letters and so forth. So what did the letters say, right? So first of all, I don't know, but there's a version of it in the Medrash Rabbah in the Chazal, okay? And it says as follows, that it's in a Perek Zayin in the Medrash, that, where is it over here? that Haman convinced the council to kill the Jews. Kim and Sharma Lehem Kane, Miyad Kiblu Dvarov. That when the council, the top guys in the Persian Empire, heard Haman's arguments, they're Makabal then. Viskim Badal Chaisro, and they all agreed to exterminate Kal Yisrael. Because of Igris of Chasma. And they wrote up letters, meaning they composed the Nusach and they signed it. Now you and I don't have what it said. All we have is a kitzur, a precy. Leo Sasidim Leomazeh, you know, to get ready to kill the Jews. But what's epis? And Vichen Kosovos and Igris, and according to this medrash, here's the language of the letters, which sounds strikingly familiar with the anti-Jewish propaganda today. Quote, Shalom lochem b'nein cherker, much peace to you all. Yivara lochem shorem yesh b'neinu, we want you to know that we have a guy here. Lomim komenu hu el mizerem lochuhu, he's not a Persian, but he's a royal lineage, mizar shalom ol gedoli ador v'homen shvon. He's from Amalek, his name is Haman. B'shalom imenu she'ela katanu kala. And they asked us a little bit of one little small favor. A she'ela ketana v'kala. No, it's to kill the Jews. Just do me a little favor, right? Al am echod asher yesh meinenu, a certain group, nivzim mekol ha'amim, despised by all the others, daitem gasam lehem, and they're arrogant. In other words, they don't act like they're despised. Don't you know everybody looks down on them? Why do they act so arrogant? Chafetzim b'ro seinu, they always want to do bad to us. They're always cursing the king. How are they cursing the king? Because they say, Hashem melcholoma of the gaim me'artzo. In other words, you pick the pussing and tell them. And lasten to come of a gaim t'cheches b'olomim. But kofrim b'misha yish asam tova. And the worst part about this certain people is their ingratitude. Right? I'll give you an example of their ingratitude. It's on the letter. Bo ru mi'osoni paro. Malasu, look at this Oni Paro, this poor guy Pharaoh, and what did the Jews did to him in terms of ingratitude? Kishiyodam Mitzrayim, Kim Sayapani office. You know, when Yosef and the brothers came down, they got a good reception. But she made Tavarts. And Paro did let them sit, dwell in the best part of the country, in Goshen. Begonazim Shni Rabin, and he did feed them during the famine. So everything I just said is true. Mechil Matusha Barso. And he gave him all the goodies because, you know, it says by Yosef, Ichlu is two bars. Paltrim Hayalunus. Now, one time there was a public works project to build a few palaces. Big deal. But Hayabonim Maksham. And they were building the palaces there where the Jews were. Because of the Yochalahan, but didn't you couldn't get the Jews to do it. El Boba Lila, Viamru. And as soon as we got them to start working, they said we need a 3-day holiday. L'zboch Hashem ne'elch shloshes yamin. You know the pasuk. So no, as soon as they got hired, they immediately want to take their vacation. That's who the Jews are. Im ritzoncha, and by the way, achakach nashu. Let us go away for 3 days, have a religious ceremony, and then we'll come back. Im ritzoncha, shilenu klekes osmos. And by the way, would you mind lending us gold, silver, and precious garments? And the Egyptians, who were good people and liked to do favors, they lent them all their gold and silver and other goodies. That's the one. The Jews went out, who was supposed to be a 3-day holiday. They took out all these chamarim, donkeys, loaded with all the goods of Mitzrayim. You know, like it says, by now, so it's Mitzrayim. And they fled. They didn't come back after 3 days. Kim Shishama Parsha Bochin. When Paro heard that they fled and are not keeping their promise to come back in 3 days, naturally, what's he supposed to do? When he get his money back? I mean, you said you keep it for 3 days and give it back to me. It's my money. May also love, you see how they spend it? So no, Paro's a good guy. We're the bad guys. May also love, what did these Jews do to him? They had this son of a gun named Moses, the son of Amram. And he had kishuf, he had magic, and therefore he had a magic stick. And he whispered in the stick, and he hit the Red Sea and it split. It got dry. And they all got away, to dry land in the middle of the sea. Vanity did my over. We don't know how it happened. Maybe you should remember how he pulled that off. The water dried. Naturally, what do you expect? Pharaoh said, if the sea dried up, I want to go in and get, all I want to do is get my money back. You know, you said you'd keep it for 3 days and then give it back. That's all I want to do. Well, what happened? And I don't know exactly how they crossed my Meishamayim and how the water dried up. All we know is, I don't know exactly how he got slept into the middle of the sea, and then the water came back and drowned them all. So look what bad people the Jews are. Why didn't they remember that Pharaoh had kept him in Egypt? Like the Torah indeed says, Kigera Yisibarso. Halo Sishman Kui Toba. You see over here, you learn from this, that the Jews are coffee tov. They have a trait of ingratitude. Right? But I'll give you another example, the letter says, written by Haman. What did he do to my grandfather Amalek? You know, my ancestor. When he came to fight with the Jews, remember, Yisrael Amalek, this is Amalek went to fight the Jews. Mechem Bo Amalek. Taka, where is he coming from? Russia. He came to fight the Jews after first taking a consultation with Bilam. Bilam was a renowned advisor. Okay? He said to Bilam, I know you're a smart guy. But Gam Machshavas Ros, and you know how to do bad things as well as good. Chol Noisa Mechin, and whoever takes your advice doesn't regret it. So Bilam said to him, Ramasa Umazil Mitzrayim, look what they did to Mitzrayim, Shosim Kamatovas. They treated Egypt so terribly, even though Egyptians did him so many favors. You see what he's skipping over to slavery, you notice that? Umala Mitzrayim Shosim Kamatovas Osam Kach. If they mistreated Mitzrayim, who did them so many favors, Lashar Mazakh Kamat, imagine how they're gonna mess over all the other guys who didn't do them favors. Hey Chato Yosin. And so this guy says to Bilam, okay, you know, the representative of the Egypt, what do you advise me to do? Armelo Bilam Nechasem Mechama, go fight it against him in a war. If you don't fight him, then you'll never be able to beat them. So the only language they understand is violence, the Jews. Because they have the schus of Avram. But you, Amalek, also have a schus of Avram because you come from Esav, which of course is from Avram. So they start having a war battle. In other words, between them, this people over here. I lost my thought. Someone just called up. Anyway, so he's saying, go fight because you come from Amalek, you also come from Avinu. And that's why they went to a battle. Miyad Bolam Amalek. In other words, when you read in the Torah, Vayav Amalek, Vayilochem Yisrael, Befidim, like we're going to do soon, what you have to understand is, Amalek asked Das Torah. That is to say, they asked Bilam, who was a real Navi. And Bilam told him to fight, because if you don't fight, then, you know, the Jews will triumph. And so what do you want? That's why he went to war. Mel also Osa Moshe Parnashalem. What did that bad guy Moshe do? Hello Tom Lech Yeshua Ben Nunshmo. He had one Talmud named Joshua. Achzari Ma'od. This Yeshua was very cruel. B'lohoi L'rachmim. Amla Moshe B'char L'anishim B'hoek. Take some men and fight Amalek. Any of this in Moshe L'amim B'ak. Shal from him. I don't know whether the people he chose, Joshua chose, were Kishuf or Gibar Malchomo. All we know is Ma'aseh Osa Moshe, what that guy Moshe do? Notel Mako B'yod V'ini D'im Ma'aseh Bo. He took a stick in his hand, his staff. And when he raised that staff, the Amalekites were defeated. Right? Rafu Yidam Benuful of Name. Their hands got weak and they fled. They fell before them. Okay? Then we're not done with the record of Jewish ingratitude. They came then to attack Sichon and Og. Shem Barbir Cholilam Bifneim. Nobody ever could withstand them. Any of them Maharagum, and I don't know how they killed them. Bolim Machim Midyan. Then they came by Machim Midyan. Mech Yedem Mahargan. Same thing. Ve'od Ma Asa Talmid Shalosa Ish Moshe. Hichnes Yol Eretz Kanaan. So what did that guy do? Who brought the Jews to land of Canaan? Lo Dashan Dotz Artom. It's not enough that the land was taken by the basin, in other words. But they're also going to El Shahar Man Shlosh Vechem Lochem. This guy Joshua killed 31 Canaanite kings. Vechil Hashem Israel, and he portioned out the land to Israel, and it wasn't his land. Vechom Aleim, and he had no pity. Both Shlobik Shlahar Goy Labodim. Whoever wasn't killed was reduced to slavery. Right? Bo Aleim Sisra Vahamonim Yidim Asel Nachakishim. Then we had another encounter with the Sisra guy and Yavin, the king of Canaan. Couldn't have been an easy ride. And what happened over there? I lost my place. You heard it. Kim Shabolim, any of them Malachish, Lam Rafi, Yedem, Venafalim. And they got weak and were defeated. That's why it says Vayachlosh Yeshua as Amalek v'Samalek v'Yicharev. I'm not finished. Bol Sichon ba'Og, and then they attack Sichon and Og. Gibori Artzeinu, Shein Kol Bir Yecholach Mifneim. Nobody could withstand Sichon and Og. V'Nei Ma'agum, and I don't know, but they killed them. I don't know how. Bolim Malchim Midyan. Same thing with the Malchim Midyan. And the Maragon. I don't know what happened, but he did kill them. In other words, they weren't in the usual spots. The Malchim Midyan. Both Mesa Talmud Shlosh Ish Moshe, and Moshe left behind a terrible legacy. What did the Talmud Joshua do? Hichnes Yol Eretz Kanaan. First of all, he took the Jews into Eretz Kanaan, which he said was not theirs. Below Dashon Notar, wasn't it bad enough they took the country? El Sharg Meim Shlosh Vechad Malachim, but you also had to make 31 kings, so there'd be 31 flavors you won't feel. Vechil Kizartzim Lucham Aleim. And they killed out the Canaanites, the Palestinians, as they call them today, without mercy. And they divided up their land among themselves. Whoever they didn't kill, they enslaved. Bolaim Sisra. And let's carry the story forward. Then a guy named Sisra showed up, Bahamonu and his large army. And I don't know what the Jews did. They did a Kisha, and the Kishon River overflowed and swept the army out to sea. Then a guy named King Saul killed 100,000 riders in one day. That's what it says in the book of Shmuel. Men, women, and children. So here you have Zionist aggression. You get it? What did they do to my grandfather Agag? First they let him go, meaning they didn't kill him. So then some guy named Samuel showed up, chopped him in half and parts and gave it to the birds. The feed, the buzzards. Any of them are Haragamisa Mashuna Kazos, Sheshman. I don't know why he gave him such a terrible death. Viachar Zosoy Melch Echad David and Yishai. Then they had a guy named David Amelech. Boy, was he bad news. He's a war criminal. Mashkis and Machalas call him Mamlochas. Loyachom Alehem. Right? He, exterminated whole countries and had no pity. Shenemer Ish Visha Loyachai David. Now that's a application of a pasuk. Because it's talking about when David worked for the Philistines, but it doesn't matter. And then this guy David had a son Shlomo. And they had something called a Beis Hamikdash. And in Melech B'Sochah, I don't know what they had in there. Shabbat Melchom, all I know is when they used to go to war, they go into the temple and they do some kishuv there, the prayers. Yotzim Hargim Machrim Misolim. And then they come out and they wipe out the whole world. So notice the Jews, this Am Echad, has been bad news and enemies of mankind and war criminals and all that kind of stuff since day one. Omerov Tova Shoylan, because they had it so good, because this is their corrupt nature, Mardub Elohim, they had it so good that they rebelled against their own God. They were so spoiled that the God in heaven who gave them all this success, they didn't treat right. And that's why they did idols and things like that. V'od, Shehizkun se'el Hashem. And by the way, their God now is old in the tooth. Notice he's getting older in years, and therefore he doesn't have the power he once had. U'bo Nebuchadnezzar v'sar b'yishalahem. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar was able to burn down the base of Mikdash, because obviously their God wasn't strong enough to defeat the king of Babylonia. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar, taking advantage of God's advanced old age and his decrepitness, was able to exile the Jews and bring them here to Babylon and Persia. You'd think that after they lost their temple and after they lost all this other stuff, that they would get some mussar and they would repent and act differently. They still haven't changed their ugly ways. And even they're in Golas, and therefore they should act humbly and low. They make fun of our Amuna. You understand? In other words, the Jews say, oh, you're stupid, you worship idols, all the rest of it. Wait a minute. You Jews are in our country. We let you in as refugees. And now you're telling us, making fun of our religion? Therefore, his kamnu kula de'achas. We all reach a unanimous verdict. He pounded the girls abnum, and we cast lots to wipe them out. To la abnum mina olam. And beizis man yitochen lano chalosam. We want to know exactly when the best time is to wipe them out. V'nofan gachosh adar b'shloshes sabov. We came up the 13th of Adar. V'yachshov kishagil cheman haigrisayil. Therefore, we say to you peoples in the 127 provinces, when these letters reach you, get ready for that day. No survivors. No Yudenran. No survivors. And when these letters were signed by the royal council and given to Haman, they were in a happy mood until they walked into Mordechai and so on and so forth. Now, did they really write a letter exactly like that? Kenzai, it doesn't have to be exactly like that. Along those lines. In other words, you ever hear this word in Haggadah, Vayareo Osono Mitzri Vayanunu? What does it mean, Vayareo Osono? It demonizes us. Can't have people throw babies in the river or kill people, men, women, children, until you convince them first that the people you're fighting are evil, beyond evil. The only thing you can do is kill them. And that's what they did. See, here's Haman taking the stories from the Tanakh, if you get this at face value, twisting them, as you just saw, in a certain way, to indicate that the Klal Yisrael are kfuye tov, they're ungrateful, and they bite the hand that feeds them, to use the modern expression, and malach tov yikosev l'abdom. And the funny part is, I bet you, let me put it this way. This was written in the Medrash, and Haman and all these guys were pagans of one sort or another. So if you're a pagan, you can just read the stories in the Tanakh along the lines that I just described. And you could say it shows you how bad the Jews are and so on and so forth. However, as we know, eventually, out of Judaism emerged the Christian and the Muslim religions. They have a funny connection with all these stories because the Old Testament is part of the Christianity. So therefore, to them, Megillas Esther is part of the Bible. And there's also been the Muslim religion, which basically accepts most of the stories of the Bible, of the Old Testament. They don't have the Old Testament, they have the Quran. The stories are told a little bit differently, always, you know, touched up here and there to make themselves look good. But fundamentally, the stories are there. I mean, they believed there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. They believed that there was a Mirat HaSinai. They believed in all these other things. And so, in the time of the Medrash, when it was paganism, you could say that the whole Jewish Bible itself is an anti-Semitic book, which it is. In other words, you read the Old Testament, the Tanakh, as you and I call it. So there's a lot of things that don't make Klal Yisrael look good. Ad kedei kach, that the Mishnah says, Nikra v'lo miturgam, Right? Remember that? That there's certain things you don't need to target, you don't want to share with the public, because we don't have to know all the dirty linen, but Tanakh has dirty linen in it. But then, Rosicrucian and Muslim religions, they accept, they believe in these stories. They're in the Old Testament, which the Christians have, and they're in the Quran in a somewhat different way. And therefore, they can't exactly spin it the way I just read you from the Medrash. They have to see that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, was a good guy, and the pharaohs were despotic rulers and so forth. That is true. But you can, you know, put a spin on it. You see what I'm saying? You can make a twist on it. And this is a brilliant evocation of the twists that are possible. So Purim has to do with the physical saving of the Jews, of course. It also has to do with a sort of a verbal vindication of the Klal Yisrael by the events that happened. And usually don't want to go into... I'll leave it at that. So, isn't that amazing? Everything I just read you could come straight out of the PLO book, of the Hamas book. That's mamash how they, you know, put a twist on all the events of Jewish history, especially anything connected with the rise of the State of Israel. Mordechai doesn't go and debate that. Instead, Mordechai does his thing. By the time it's over, the bad guys were gone. We don't have that today, but it's important, you know, not to fall for the narrative versions of the bad guys. Anyway, I thought that's interesting in connection with Purim. And with that, I wish everyone a good day. And once again, thanks to our friends at Abe Gluck and Gluck Plumbing in Lakewood.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.